Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Over the years, I've had the privilege many times to introduce a speaker to an audience, but I don't think there's anyone on the face of this earth who I would rather introduce to an audience than today's speaker, Susan Bates. Susan and I go way back, over 30 years ago. I spent my first summer with Ken and Susan Bates in Flagstaff, Arizona. I was only 15 years old at the time. Susan's stepdaughter, Kelly, had been traveling through Europe, and as part of that trip with a singing group, she stayed with my parents for a couple of weeks. And at that time, she heard about me being in an inpatient treatment center for an eating disorder that I was struggling with. I was there for a year. I think she felt really sorry for that sick German girl, so she was kind of bribing me, and she said, if you get better and if you get out of this clinic, you can go and visit my parents in Flagstaff. They have horses, and you're going to really love it. I don't think she ever asked her parents about this. But I took her by her word. So after I was released from that clinic, 4 months later, I was on my way to Arizona. I think the timing for them was actually not very good because they just adopted two little children, and they had their hands full. And I, on the other hand, had just relapsed into my eating disorder, and I got there really sick and broken. But I will never forget the day we visited the Grand Canyon, and I think we sat there for hours as she shared her story with me, pretty much like what you're going to hear this morning. And it had a deep impact on me. For the first time in my life, I heard and understood that God was real. Not just was he real, but he was personal, and he could be personal for me. For the first time as well, I had hope that maybe there was a future for me. And I needed that hope so badly at that time. Only a few weeks after that first trip to Arizona, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And in the years since, my life has dramatically changed. Amen. And I tell you what, throughout high school, I worked every job I could get, whether it was tutoring or cleaning or babysitting, to earn enough money to go back the next summer to spend my summer with Ken and Susan and the horses. And then after high school, I spent several months with them. I lived with them. And the way I would describe it is that Susan discipled me, mainly through her life. And isn't that what discipleship is all about? I learned so much. I learned so much about God because I was a new Christian. I learned so much about the Bible, which was totally new to me. I was getting involved in church, and I heard about service and learned about service. But more than that, she taught me about knowing God and being known by God and building my life on that, not on knowing about him or what I could ever do for him, but knowing him. And that's the biggest blessing she has given me over the years. So we started off kind of like her being a spiritual mom to me. Happy Mother's Day. But in the years since, we've become the closest friends. And I'm the calm friend that tries to keep her calm, just to throw that in here. And she has witnessed, like a mom, many firsts in my life. My first date, first time driving a car. What else? First time singing a solo in church, and that was my only time, and that will never happen again. She was also the person that took me aside when I was about 17 years old, and she said, you cannot wear bright red socks if there's nothing else red on your outfit. You know, we all need a truth teller like that in our lives. So this is how I know Susan. She's a mom of four. She's a speaker. She's an author. She's done many women's conferences. She was the director of a homeless shelter for many years in Flagstaff until they moved to Phoenix a few years back. I was reminded this week that many years ago we lived in Hamburg, Germany, and Susan came to speak at our church. I think the day before she arrived, I just returned from a women's retreat in the Netherlands, in Holland. And so my son Jonas, who was really small at the time, he got really confused with Susan coming, me coming back from Holland. So the entire week she was there, he called her Holland. So who would have guessed that years later, Holland was coming back to Holland? And you have the privilege to hearing her speak to us this morning. So welcome, Susan Bates.
I have such a beautiful daughter. I'd like to say she looks just like me, but I think she's exceeded all of that. Thank you, dear Holland, for welcoming this Holland to your beautiful city, and especially at tulip time. That was amazing. I got to see a parade. I got to see all the tulips. It rocks. I had no idea you guys even existed. Now you are on the map. Everywhere I go, I'll tell of tulip time. Expect the masses. I do want to welcome the moms that are here today. As I recall, getting the entire brood to get actually to church, all with matching socks, matching shoes, and some semblance of clothing, was a real trial. So the fact that you're here at all, I commend you and I bless you. Let's give them a round of applause. They made it. So I know that we all come from different backgrounds, but there are so many things that really unite us in this world, aren't there? And one of them is that life at times can be tough, can it? We all go through struggles. Sometimes it seems to come in waves. Sometimes they're like this, and sometimes they're like this, aren't they? And when you're on that down, it is hard. And I look at the world around us today, and I honestly sometimes shake my head in wonder. I never honestly dreamed that I would live in a nation that thought it was okay to kill newborn babies. It shocks me what has happened to our culture, or that it's okay to disparage police, or that it's okay to legalize marijuana and make that just part of our lives. Sometimes the shifting sand in the world is terrifying, is it not? Especially if you're raising children. And we begin to wonder, where is the stability? Where is it something that I can hang on to and believe in? Because life is hard. If it's not the world around us, it's the world that is right next to us. It's our families. With divorce rates increasing and children being so lured by everything from drugs to video games, all kinds of things. Don't you see it in our culture that is just drawing them away from the principles that we hold so dear? And we think, where is the solid rock for me to stand on? You know, well, life can be really hard, and even for those of us who are solid in our walk of faith, we can look into that mirror sometime and go, I'm the worst. We have those days that we feel like nothing is working, that no matter what I'm doing, I'm failing, don't we? You know, I call it my garbage days. And it reminds me of a story of when I was a mother and I received all these gifts for a personal spa day. You know, the mud mask that you get that you slather all over and the little curlers for your hair to give you the golden locks like that. That somehow my hair never looked like that, but okay. But I got a spa day, so I decided in the midst of all the trauma of life, I needed to take my own day of rest, okay? So everybody's gone, the kids are away at school, and I decided this is my day. So the first thing I do is I take my mud mask, and it's green, all right? And I slather it on all over my face. And for you men who've never had the pleasure of slathering mud on your face, it tightens, okay? So you have little holes for eyes, and your mouth goes like this, right? Yeah. Okay, but they're supposed to make you eventually beautiful. Okay, so I'm walking around like this, and then the next thing I know, I'm putting my hair up in these gold lame ties, kind of twisting it up like that and tying it. Okay, so now I've got gold lame all over my head, mud on my face, and I look like a gold lame porcupine. So then the next thing I decide to do is put on my old sweats so I can work out and paint my toes. So I get my toes painted, and as you know, you've got to put those little things between your toes, and you've got to walk like this for a while, right? With your mud face and your porcupine. So I think I'm really rocking it here until I hear a noise outside the door. And I'm thinking, what is that? I'm going, sounds like the garbage man. Oh my gosh, it is the garbage man. It's garbage day, and I forgot to put it out. And I look at myself, and I'm going, oh, well, it's just a garbage man. And so I run outside and I grab the garbage and I'm pushing it out there and I'm going, hey, wait, am I too late for the garbage? He takes one look at me and goes, no, ma'am, hop right in. And this was my pretty day. I just didn't quite get there. Ever had one of those days where you try extra hard and it still all goes south? Ever have one of those years that nothing quite seems to go right? Maybe finances fall, the marriage begins crumbling, kids' hearts are getting cold. Maybe your friends ban you from their group. It's hard. And our hearts just break. And we just think, I can't do this. Honestly, sometimes life gets so hard. I've been at the place where I didn't want to go on. And I know in a room of this size, there's others of you that feel the exact same way. And you might be in that place right now. And you know, I learned something over my years that I want to share with you today. And I'm going to use the example of a tree. There was a place in the White Mountains of Arizona that we used to take our kids when life got really hard. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough go on vacation, right? Yeah, thank you. Anyway, so we would take our kids to the White Mountains, and there was this beautiful place right beside the Little Colorado River. And right in the middle of it was this big, tall pine tree. Had big branches that were plenty wide for us to play games underneath them. And we would, I would take naps, honestly. But the kids would play in the water, and we would just have a delightful time. And this tree was gorgeous. Well, one summer we went up there, and the kids ran on ahead to the tree, and in no time, they were back. And I said, what are you doing back? And they said, Mom, our tree, there's something wrong with it. It's dead. And I said, there's no way. That tree was beautiful. You know, it couldn't have been. It was perfect. And I ran up ahead with them, and sure enough, that big old tree was laying on its side, and it was brown and decaying. And they said, Mom, what happened? Well, I walked around the tree and I said, I think I know. For as tall as this tree was, if you look at the roots, they were very, very short. And what that tree had done was all of its life, it had just fed on the surface waters of the Little Colorado River nearby, and it never had to put its roots down deep to where the rocks would hold it. So every time a storm came along, it began to loosen its grip just a little bit. Looked great on the outside, just like a lot of all of us, right? But one time a spring storm came along, and it was enough to push that tree over to where now it was dead and decaying. And I thought to myself, that's just like my life. I was born in a small town in South Dakota, not too far from Mount Rushmore. It was a great place to grow up. We did have horses, and I loved growing up there. I had a wonderful mom and dad that I loved very much, because for most kids, our roots are in what? They're in our family, aren't they? That's what we put all of our faith in. That's what holds us together as little kids. And I loved my mom and dad very much. We went to church occasionally, but it wasn't really a big deal for our family, which is kind of why it's strange that my favorite thing as a little kid growing up was a green cross. You know how some little kids have a teddy bear or they have a blankie that they absolutely love? Well, for me, it was my green cross, and it made me feel safe. You know, like I had someone that was near me, that cared about me no matter where I went and what happened to me. So I put that cross on, and I wore it all the time. Well, you know, with life, you really never know when a storm is going to come along, do you? You can wake up one morning, and everything is just fine. And by that evening, your world is gone. When I was 9 years old, I was seated at the dinner table, and I heard a choking sound. And I looked up to see my father fall from his place at the table. And he died right there and then of a massive heart attack, right in front of my eyes as a 9-year-old. You know, death is a very, very painful thing for an adult. But as for a child, it was so terrifying. Because if something that you love that much, that you've known all your life, can be gone like that, nothing is secure. I began to be terrorized. What happens to me if something happens to my mom? What becomes of me? Where will I go? Who will take care of me? But you know, I didn't know to ask these questions. I began to ask, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? If there is, who goes there and why? You know, those are some of the most important questions we can ever ask. Because I gotta tell you, this life is so tough, there isn't one of us that's gonna get out of it alive. Right? We'll all draw that last breath sometime. But we ignore the question, where am I going? We spend more time planning a 2-week vacation than we do where we're gonna spend eternity. I didn't know to ask those questions, and I stuffed them, just like a lot of us do. And I went on with my life, and even though I looked exactly the same on the outside, on the inside, I was changed. I was living in fear and terror. And my little tree that I was growing, that had its rocks in people, was now not stable anymore. Because why? Because people can't hold us. People were never meant to be our all in all. Not people's opinions, not being perfect for people, not husbands, not wives, not children. And the reason why is they don't have the capacity to hold us. People die. They get sick. They betray us. We get disappointed in them. They move away. And if your entire being is wrapped up in a person or a relationship that is not eternal, you stand, you're having your whole life rocked. And that's what had happened to me. Well, when I was 11 years old, my mom remarried, and you'd think that that would have solved the whole thing. I've got a dad again. But unfortunately, my stepfather had no use for me. And I know in a room of this size, once again, that there are people that you grew up with parents that really didn't care about you. They were into their own lives, and you were just kind of a thing that hung around. And you know, there is something in us that needs a father, isn't there? A father that delights in us, that pats us on the back and says, good job. We all need that. And if we don't get it from an earthly father, we'll start looking elsewhere. And even though that stepfather had no use for me, I began to find that security in relationships with young men. Began to find it in being perfect, saying, okay, if I can't get his attention, I'll see if I can be good enough that I get everybody else's attention. And so I went out, started getting straight A's, president of this, head of that, looked great on the outside, but I wasn't getting the one thing that I longed for. And that was unconditional love, which is what we all long for. I was empty inside, and my roots were in people's opinions and me being perfect. Anybody else ever try to be perfect? Perfect mom, perfect grandma. I'll tell you right off the bat, I'm a failure at perfect grandma. But I love them. Anyway, so perfection, perfect at your job, perfect career. It doesn't happen, does it? And would you put your faith in that, you eventually end up disappointed. Well, it works for a while. And by the time I left high school, I had been wearing a cross all that time. And by that time, I thought, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I got scholarships from across the country, those offers, and I went away to school, and I put away that little cross. And I thought, I don't need that anymore. I'm not sure there really is a father in heaven. I'm doing just great on my own. And I put that cross away, and I went off to school, And you know what the first thing I experienced was? Failure. Anybody else ever experienced failure? It's awful. Especially in America, we don't really allow failure. Failure in a marriage, maybe a bankruptcy. How about a child that has gone astray? How about when you fail yourself? When you have personal standards that you have set and you fail them? You feel like garbage, don't you? It's a sad, sad place to be. And all I wanted to do was belong. All I wanted to do was to have that hole inside of me filled. Well, we'll do something to find something to fill that hole. And so what I did is I looked around, and there was a group that was on campus that wore bell bottoms and beads and took drugs. They were called the hippies. And I wanted to belong so bad, I became part of that group. You know, it's not so different now. In this day and age, we have groups all around us, don't we? We have gangs. We have all kinds of different groups of rockers and all kinds of kids joining gangs. And it's because of that need to belong, to have that hole filled. And I joined them and regularly started using drugs. And for me, it was a lifestyle that I couldn't quit. I started using the drugs, and they gave me a sense of peace that I couldn't find anyplace else, and I became hopelessly hooked. And pretty soon, there was no resemblance between the young woman who had gone away so excited about college and the young woman I'd become. I was dressed in rags, and I had lost a ton of weight. I was dirty and barely making it. It was at that time that I had to go home before I went off to a school in Canada for the summer. It was after my junior year of college, and I needed help, and I didn't know how to ask for it. And I'll never forget coming up to our front door and wanting so bad to be that little girl again that could come home. And I'll never forget opening that door and seeing my mom at the kitchen sink and just hoping that she would still love me. Because you see, I still loved my mom with all my heart, and she was the only anchor I had left. And I'll never forget saying to her, "Hi, Mom, I'm home," and have her turn around with a big smile on her face. And then when she saw how badly I looked, that smile fell from her face, and I thought she was going to reject me. And my heart was just dying inside. But you see, my mom knew love. And my mom didn't care what I looked like. She ran to me. She ran to me, and she held me, even though I was smelly and awful. She held me. And she said, "Susan, honey, I feel like I don't even know you anymore." And do you know how badly I wanted to say to her, "Mom, I'm in trouble. I really need help." But, you know, sometimes the gap between people gets so big that you don't even know how to cross it with words, do you? It's been too long, or there's been ugly things said. We haven't forgiven, and we don't even know how to reach across that wide gap and love once again. So I just said to my mom, "I know, Mom. I don't know me either." And I walked away. Right before I was to leave again, I was home for 3 weeks, and it had been raining the whole time. I was going to leave in the next 2 days. And we were having some relatives over for dinner, and I heard a knock at the door, and it was my stepbrother. He came with the stepfather package, and he didn't like me either. So he came to the door, and he said, "Susan, you got to listen to me. I just got a call from my girlfriend, and she's canceling her date with me." And I thought, wise girl. And he said, "No, you don't understand. I really want to go to the motorcycle races, and I have to have a date. would you go and be my date? And I said, I looked at him, I go, are you kidding me? You're my stepbrother. And I said, I don't like motorcycles. It's raining outside. No, I'm not going to go. And he said, you have to go. I have to have a date. Nobody knows you're my sister. Please, please, please. And I said, no, I'm not going to go. And he said, I'll give you $10. And I said, okay. So I grabbed my jean jacket and ran out the door, slamming the door behind me, yelling goodbye to my mom, not knowing that I was slamming the door on my last opportunity to ever tell my mom that I loved her, that I was so grateful for all that she had done for me throughout all those years, for her kindness to me and her unconditional love. Because you see, that night in Rapid City, South Dakota, there was a massive flood that killed over 200 people. And my mom and my stepfather, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, in fact, everyone that was in the house that night was killed. If my brother's girlfriend hadn't called, I wouldn't be standing here before you. Is there a God who has a purpose for every life, including your being here today? Because he wants you to have hope. As I walked out that night, I didn't know I was walking into a natural disaster. We were rescued from the water 3 different times because that little river that had bisected the town of Rapid City had swollen to over a mile wide. We kept trying to cross it because we realized there was something really, really wrong after being rescued so many times. And all I wanted to do was to get home, to get home. But you see, that river now separated me from that home. And in between where I needed to be and where I was, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And in front of me, my brother was on a telephone pole because he tried to rescue somebody out of the waters. And that's the only place of refuge there was. And I was standing on the edge, and there were people floating by with trailers and cars and screaming for help. And there was nothing I could do to help them. And I felt to myself, this must be what it's like if there is a hell where people are lost. But it's too late. I walked and walked till I finally found a place that I knew someone in their home, pounded on the door. She came to the door and I slept on her floor that night. And the next day we started driving. I kept calling home and calling home and calling home and no answer. And so I drove with her through the mounds of mud. I didn't even recognize the town I'd grown up in till we got within 2 miles of where our neighborhood was, and we couldn't even go any further. And we began to hike through the mounds of mud till we came to where our house had been. And there was nothing there but a hole in the ground. Nothing. Everything was gone. The grand piano, the fine china, all the history and memories and pictures and jewelry, every single thing my parents had ever worked for was gone in one night. In one night. All the things that they had given the best of their time, talent, and treasure for was gone. How much should we be putting our faith in the material things of this world and giving the very best of our lives for stuff? It doesn't matter. If it can go in one night, what value is it? You see, overnight, I had become orphaned, I'd become penniless, and I had become homeless. Roots. They had been in people. Now my mom, my dad, my home, everything was gone. Everything I tried to hang on to had let me down. And guess what? It always will. There is nothing permanent that is visible in this world. It is said in the Bible like this. 2 Corinthians 4, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Do you believe that there's an eternal that is more real and more enduring than what you can see? Where is your hope? The seen or the unseen? I'll tell you, mine had been in the material, and it cost me everything. Everything I cared about was gone. I was sleeping on the floor of a friend's house for 2 weeks before they found my mom's body. Up until then, I held out a hope that she might still be alive somewhere, but she was gone. My dad was gone, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my home, and I couldn't take the pain. Those are storms, and they can come for any one of us at any time. And I wanted to die. The only question was how. I attended my mom's funeral in a borrowed dress and borrowed shoes because I owned nothing. It was at that time when I was just obsessing about how to take my own life that the woman of the house came to me. And she said, Susan, there's somebody at the door that's asking for you. And I said, that's impossible. Nobody knows where I am. There were no phones. There were no roads. There were thousands of houses that were lost. No one knew where anyone was. And I said, nobody could be looking for me. And she said, well, he asked for you by name. So I went to the door, and there stood a total stranger. And he looked me in the face, and he said, you're Susan, aren't you? Susan Hansen? And I said, yeah. And he said, I have something that I think belongs to you. And he handed me a box and walked away. And I thought, who was that? I don't even know who that was. And here is this box that is covered with mud and it smells like everything else and I didn't want it. And I thought, what? And I opened it up. And the first thing I saw was a glimmer of green. And in my hand was a box that had been in my dresser, in my bedroom, in a home that not one stitch of it was ever found. Not the grand piano, not the fine furniture, not the stone fireplace, not the roof, not the walls, nothing of that home was ever found. In my hand was my green cross. My green cross. Who was that person, that stranger, who found me in an unknown place? Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. I believe to this day that person was an angel sent by God to give me hope. I believe that you being within earshot of this story today is God saying to you, take heart. I haven't forgotten you. You are not alone. I love you. Now, did I deserve to have the God of the universe give me the one thing that would let me know I wasn't alone? I did not. I was awful. But did God love me anyway? Yes. Does he love you anyway? Yes. Is he the God that always was, always is, always will be? Yes. I would like to tell you that I took this cross and I put it on. And everything changed because you see, now I knew there was a God. But that's not what happened. Because you can know there's a God. But if you don't let him become Lord of your life, you don't allow yourself to be completely alive to the Spirit of God that he offers you, you won't change a bit. You'll keep that old tree growing as shaky as it is and decayed as it is and know about God on the outside when what you really need is God on the inside. And what happened was I went downhill from downhill. You can go deeper than dirt. Did you know that? And that's what happened to me. I thought I'd lost everything, but I was wrong. After 5 years, I'd lost my health. I was hopelessly addicted to drugs, even worse now. They were much more serious. I had so much guilt in my heart, knowing that if anybody should have died that night, it should have been me. And I had no way to get rid of that guilt and that pain. We know how bad we are, don't we? And we think that we're so bad that we can't ever approach God. But that's the lie. That's where we're wrong. God loved us while yet we were still sinners. While we were still in our rottenness. That's when he loves us into his kingdom. So at the end of 5 years, I was sent home from the hospital to die. I weighed 30 pounds less than I do now, and there was no hope for me. They didn't have cleanup clinics back then. They just had jails, and to me, that wasn't an option, and I didn't like waking up in the morning anyway. And I'll never forget realizing that I was dying and throwing myself on the floor of the little trailer that I lived in and calling out to God. And saying, I've made a mess of my life. And I know that's not what you had in mind for me. Help. Help. If you'll just help me, I'll try. Just help me. I have nothing left. You see, that tree that I'd been growing that had been anchored in everything else was finally dead and decaying. And I asked for new life. Do you know that's what he offers you? Not just the old made over, but brand new life. We can be brand new creations where the old is gone and behold all things on the inside, the unseen realm. That's what's made new. Yes, you look exactly the same on the outside, but on the inside you have brand new life and it's clean and it's pure and it's beautiful. God gave that to me, not because I prayed the right prayer, but because he loved me and he wanted me to come home. Let me ask you, where are you? I don't care if you called yourself a Christian for 100 years. If your roots, your obsession is with the things of this world, you're not getting it. You've got to be at the point that the Apostle Paul was when he said, everything is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Have you come to know Jesus in the way that he's become everything to you? He will fill every empty hole you've ever had. He will fill you with purpose and love and security in a way that no matter what storms come your way, you will be rooted and grounded. And they will not be able to take you out. Where are you? Has Jesus just become a back burner thing to you, something you add on to your life? Or has he become the most precious pearl of great price that everything takes a distant second compared to knowing him? If you don't know him like that, I beseech you, ask. Say, Jesus, I want to know you in a way that fills every bit of emptiness that is in me and makes me complete. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the new life of Christ into your life. And if you've never done that, I'm asking that you would bow your head and pray with me. And for those of you who have already prayed that prayer, have you really made him your all in all? Look at the roots of your life. What has become more important to you than the one and only Savior, the only eternal God? Everything else will pass. But Jesus Christ will endure forever. Would you bow your heads, please? Just pray with me, please. I'll say a phrase, then you can repeat it. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have made everything more important than you. I have valued people, position, power, possessions more than you. And I'm sorry. It still hasn't filled me. And I want to turn away from that and ask you to become my all in all. Jesus, would you come with your life-giving spirit? Come to live and rule and reign on the inside of me. You become my purpose. You become my greatest possession. You become the one that I adore. You be the one who is my all in all. Be my Lord. Forgive me for being so mistaken and making so many mistakes. Cleanse me with your righteousness and make me born anew of the Spirit of the living God through Christ Jesus, your Lord. My Lord, my Savior, my King, forever and ever. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, or the second time, or the third time, but this time it's made a difference, there's a number on the screen that they'll be showing, and I'm going to ask you to please text your name to that number, and someone from the church will be in touch with you soon. We need to connect with each other. It's a walk, not a run. And we're all side by side in this great race of faith, the only thing that matters. I thank you for listening. I am so grateful for Jesus. I can truly say he's everything to me. And I ask you to draw near to him like never before. He is the richest treasure you will ever know. I want to leave you with a scripture that's come to mean so much to me. It's found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And this is my prayer for you. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love for you really is. Though it is so great that you will never see the end of it, or fully know or understand it. But at last, you will be filled up with God himself. God is love. And when we are filled with his love for us, his love pours out of us to the world around us. Thank you for being so kind to listen. In the unseen realm, we are together. We are one spirit in him, and we will endure for all eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I bless you. Make your journey of faith a strong one. Make it count. It's the only thing that matters. Thank you.